Until you step into the unknown, you don't know what you're made of. Roy T. Bennett.
This is something that I learned about myself. I'm like a dog with a stick, right? I'll tell you a story. I got a close friend of mine, Allie, who lives in Minnesota, and she has this dog named Juniper, who loves the water, who loves playing fetch. And I would be throwing all these sticks into the water, and she'd be jumping in. And our friend had to eventually, a couple of times, say, "Hey, you know what? I need you to stop doing that with my dog right now. She doesn't know when to quit, and you're going to kill her if you keep going." And I learned about myself that I need to have some patience with myself and take breaks, because that freedom that I love and dear so much is, I'll just keep going. I'll just keep, oh, what's around over there? Oh, what's over there? Oh, who am I going to meet over here? And I just keep going. I went 2 months without taking a zero day.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the Trail Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder, if you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute, help us out, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right, let's get to this week's guest, a thru-hiker who has been a very busy man in 2022 with more than 4,200 miles under his feet. I want to thank him for taking a brief break from the trail to talk to me today. Well, welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Jason Tompkins. How's it going, Jason?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, Doc?
Absolutely wonderful. This is a nice 3-day weekend. You and I are talking. How can it get any better?
I can't think of all. I can. As soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to go to the beach with my little brother and my nephew.
Nice. Now, during those 4,200 miles this year, that's very busy. Have you picked up a trail name along the way somewhere?
I did. Yeah. Out and about.
Out and about. Well, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Out and about. And how'd you come by that?
Well, I actually named myself after a series of, I know that's breaking all the rules and all the laws and all the traditions, but there, after a series of proposed names, a couple of them that I was like, yeah, that'll work. I'm totally cool with that. The trail family I was with, just they weren't using them. So I decided to come up with my own.
There you go. I have a strong suspicion that happens more often than not. You know, how are we going to know?
Yeah, no, so, absolutely.
Hey, my trail name is Cheese, and it's because of this great story. And they tell you this great story. You don't know if they're telling the truth or not. You have to take it.
No, you don't.
So you just outed yourself, really. I mean, you could have gone with anything there.
I could have. Yeah, I could have. Yep. I try to be honest, though.
Very honest guy. Hey, out and about. Have you listened to the podcast before?
I have. I've listened to, I'd say, just about every episode. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you've really seen the evolution of the podcast.
I have, for better or for worse. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I hope it was for better.
No, I'm still listening to it. So the proof is in the pudding.
Okay. That's good. You know, I go back and I listen to some of those early episodes and kind of just shake my head. I mean, we had fun talking about stuff, but I don't have a whole lot of post-production add-ons, you know, spicy, exciting stuff that I do with the audio. But even back in those early days, I mean, it was pretty rough, I think, on a couple of those.
That's funny.
All right. Hey, do you have a favorite episode or a favorite guest?
I always love it when Legend is on. I really appreciate it. That guy's just, he's a wild man. Jeff Garmeyer. Yeah. And Snorkel. Liz Thomas, I believe she was on. They were awesome. Quadzilla is always fun. And the Prodigy, the hiking Prodigy, Tyler Lau, always fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Quadzilla is going to come back on once he's finished his massive trek this calendar
year.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then, of course, didn't you do the professor? I believe you did a couple of times, right?
Yeah. He's coming back on as well.
Awesome. Of course, you have to have him back on. Yeah.
he's amazing. And Garmeyer, he is a crazy dude who is just doing fantastic things out there. He's actually got a new documentary, I think, premiering on the 15th, November 15th. So that's by the time you're listening to this, it's already out. But that in our time right now, that's next week. He didn't do the documentary. The documentary is about him. So somebody made a documentary about him. And I think it's about the calendar year, Triple Crown, and it's premiering in Denver next.
Oh, cool. For some reason, yeah. I was thinking it was about his FKT attempt on the Colorado Trail, but at the calendar year Triple Crown, that sounds quite intriguing.
Yeah, and I probably butchered that somehow, so don't hold me to it. It could be about any one of those things. It's going to be a cool documentary, though. Yeah. All right. So you are familiar with the format of the podcast here. We've got a section at the end that we do called the Pro Tip Insight of the Week. I'm sure that you are totally prepared for that and ready to go. So don't get surprised when we get there.
Indeed.
All right.
The Must Bring Gear Review.
You, I am sure, are also familiar with the Must Bring Gear Review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company Six Moon Designs. And here's how it works for those people tuning in for the very first time. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So out and about, what is your must-bring piece of gear?
This is debatable. Does my phone count? Can I use my phone?
You know what? Smartphone. It is your recommendation, so you can shape it any way you want.
Okay, I'm going to say if it counts, I would say my phone, just because it just makes everything so convenient. I used to do a lot of traveling all over the country prior to smartphones, and just having that around, it makes it unbelievably easier. If that didn't count, I would say my backpack. My backpack is the Hyperlite Mountain Gear Junction. It's the 55 liter one, so I believe it's the 3400 model. Absolutely love it. Yep, 100%. Highly recommend.
Nice. I like both of those recommendations. You know, I tell my kids, I grew up in an age where I didn't have a computer in my pocket, let alone access to all of the world's knowledge in my pocket. It was the dark ages when I grew up in the 80s. So
It was really easy. Like back in the day when your teachers said, well, you have to learn your math because you're not going to be able to walk around with a calculator in your pocket all the time.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, did your family have a set of encyclopedias in the house?
Yes, we did. Yep.
Yeah. All of the world's knowledge right there in those books on the shelf. You want to know something?
That's right.
You go pull that volume out and take a look.
Yeah.
Now it's in your pocket wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, and that GPS makes things a lot easier.
Right. Now, tell me a little more about the Hyperlite backpack.
It's the Hyperlite Mountain Gear backpack. It's the Junction, so it's basically the same as the Southwest, except it's got a mesh back, like the big back pocket. Mm-hmm. It's a super basic pack, big long tube, roll top, 55 liter. I could get by with a smaller one, but honestly, I really like it. If I want to do like a 10-day food carry or something like that, I like being able to have the option to, I don't have to go into town super, super often. I got it and I started using it in December, and then I probably noticed around February, I had about a week and a half worth of food in there, picked it up with one hand and was like, oh boy, this pack is heavy. Threw it on and I didn't even notice it was on anymore. And that's when I knew I had a good pack. That's when I knew that it fit right for my body. And yeah, fell in love with it. And yeah, I wouldn't trade it in for anything.
Yeah. Now the Hyperlites, are they frameless?
They are. Well, they have two aluminum bars that you can put in there. And I do use them. Although, frankly, I don't think that I need to. But I just haven't experimented with not using them yet.
Okay. Yeah. So, hey, let's continue our discussion of gear with...
It's the hiking poll.
That's right. So this is a 7-question survey. It's poll, P-O-L-L, like survey, not P-O-L-E, like the kind you hold in your hand. These 7 questions and your answers to them will help me give you a sanity score on a scale of 1 to 100, 1 being completely insane and 100 being completely sane. I already asked your... your brother and your nephew where you'd fall on that scale, what do you think they'd say out about?
Absolutely, absolutely insane. And I think I'm going to fail this 100%.
So if this is like, if we're in school, is a failing score less than 60, or is it, where is the failing score on the sanity scale?
I'm guessing less than 60. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
depending on which questions that you are going to ask on this.
That's right. Do you prefer the set A questions or set B questions? Set A, of course, are all about hiking. Set B is the big world issues facing us, our society today.
Set A. Yeah, let's go with set A.
All right. Here we go. First question, set A. Trekking poles or no trekking poles?
No, trekking poles.
Oh, wow. Hang on. I gotta make a note. Just a clue for our viewers out there and also our future guests that if you see me write anything down during the hiking poll, it's usually a point deduction. So yeah. Out and about,
you're gonna get carpal tunnel soon.
Out and about, tell us why no trekking poles. That's an unusual answer.
I honestly have I haven't run into a situation yet where I needed them, except maybe if I'm crossing a creek or something, some stream that's a little bit high, I'll just go grab some sticks to brace myself and get across and then lay them aside next to the trail in case anybody else needs them later on. I honestly haven't needed them. I haven't done too many gigantic mountains, but you know, I've spent a few months in the mountains this year so far, and I felt fine. My knees haven't given me any troubles, so pretty comfortable with not using them. Okay. And luckily in the swamps in South Florida on the Florida Trail, if you lose your footing, luckily there's a bunch of cypress trees you can just grab onto.
Got it. So you make do with natural substitutes when needed.
Yep.
Okay. Now what's on your feet there out and about? Second question, boots or trail runners?
Trail runners.
Okay. And do you have a particular brand that you prefer?
I have a particular brand that I've used this whole year, and that's the New Balance Nitrel V4s. I just haven't used anything else. I'm considering trying out some Hoka Speed Goats, but I haven't used them yet. I also haven't had any complaints with my shoes, so don't fix it if it ain't broken.
That's right. If it's working, just keep going.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Question number three. What is your preferred shelter system? Is it tent, tarp, hammock, bivy, or do you do some cowboy camping out there in the swamps?
If I had my druthers about me and that dew point is low enough, I'll cowboy camp until the cows come home. Other than that, I just tarp.
Oh, tarp. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what kind of tarp do you have?
I have the Z Packs. I believe it's 8.5 by 10, 8 by 10, something like that. And I really like it. I've always wanted to try tarping. So I actually started this year with that tarp and a hammock. But I found within 2 weeks, I just wasn't using the hammock anymore. And I slept even better on the ground. So I just sleep on the ground now.
Yeah, you've probably heard on previous episodes my take on hammocks. They're the best for taking naps. I can have a great nap in a hammock, but there's no way I can get a good night's sleep in a hammock.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And do you have a particular pitch of your tarp that you prefer?
If everything's perfect, I tend to use just the A-frame, but that's not always the case. Sometimes you just got to get creative, and if it's nice out and there's no chance of rain, I'll just put it flat like a sheet just to keep the dew off of me and get all that extra airflow and stuff too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sometimes though, you just, I don't know, you got to get creative.
Yeah, and there's a number of YouTube channels out there that are kind of devoted to different tarp pitches, and you can kind of go down the rabbit hole with that.
Totally.
Yeah, there's one particular pitch called the asymmetrical Holden, which is mm-hmm. pretty cool. It gives you access to the night sky, but still gives you some good protection there.
Yeah, I do want to play around with more different pitches, varieties of them. And I've not seen the asymmetrical Holden, but I'm intrigued. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, take a look. All right, question number four: sleeping bag or quilt?
Quilt.
Yes. Yes. Look at you. Tarp, quilt. So with those being in your bag, what is your pack weight? What's your base weight, do you think?
I think about this point, because there's a couple of things that I just don't have a scale to weigh them out. I think I'm at around 11.5 pounds. So nothing, not too crazy. No, lighter than some, heavier than others. Yeah. Comfortable for me.
Lighter than most, not heavy. You're heavier than the really crazy people who are breaking their toothbrushes in half and cutting off their extra straps.
Oh, brother, I cut my toothbrush is cut in half and it's got holes drilled in it. I told you I was going to fail the poll.
Hey, hang on a second. Hang on. Note of that. Okay. All right. Question number five. Let's see if the ultralight trend continues here. When it comes to food, are you a stove guy? Do you cold soak or you go stoveless?
Cold soak.
I warned you.
Wow. Really? You're a cold soak guy. Do you have a particular recipe that you prefer or a meal that you do with cold soak that tastes better than most?
Man, I love my oatmeal in the morning. You put my oatmeal with some instant carnation, vanilla flavored, and maybe some collagen powder in there. And man, I'm good. But I always look forward to it every single day. Okay. I know it's crazy, but I love it.
Now, at the end of a long day of hiking out there, you sit down, you make camp. Mm-hmm. What are you sitting down to? What are you eating as your cold?
Well, usually I eat an hour or two before I even get to camp. So I'll either do some ramen and tuna with some olive oil and maybe some flavor packets, like whatever you get from a gas station or whatever. But if it's a big day, I'll throw in some mashed potatoes and do ramen bomb. Yeah.
All cold.
All cold.
All right. Out and about, is life better above or below the tree line?
I don't know yet. I've not really done much hiking above the tree line yet. And I'm looking forward to it next year and the years after that, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out though.
So all 4,200 plus miles this past year have been below the tree line.
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's a fair answer. I mean, that's you don't know if you don't know.
That's right.
Okay. And then last question, question number seven, what's more important, pack weight or luxury items?
I guess I got to say pack weight because I don't really have any luxury items. And I live pretty Spartan hiking and in my other non-hiking life. So yeah, I guess it's pack weight. If there was a luxury item that I wanted, I'd probably carry it, but I don't really have any luxury items.
You don't sound like a luxury guy.
I mean, not really. Pretty basic.
Yeah. What would be a luxury item you consider in the future?
I don't know. Like if I wanted a luxury item, I would carry it. I think I would carry it. Yeah. Like I sleep great. So I don't need a pillow. I sleep great. So I don't need like a blow up mattress. The ground is a perfectly good chair for me. Logs are good too. I really don't know.
I think what I just saw there was out and about going through a mental checklist of, okay, I could bring this. No, it weighs too much. I could bring this. No, it's extra weight. I could bring this. Nope. That's too many more ounces. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not trying to be crazy or anything. I just, there's nothing that like I miss or like, wait, oh, it would be really cool if I had this. Cause if I felt like that, I'd probably go get it. You know?
Well, out and about, I've got some math to do here with these crazy answers that you've given me.
Uh-oh.
let me do some addition here. Some math. Carry the 3. Got to divide by root 2. Let's multiply that by pi. And we're going to adjust for the speed of an alligator in the swamp chasing you. And I come up with a score of 46.
Woo!
46. You're definitely closer to crazy than you are.
Yeah, I suspected so.
Yeah, your brother might even say it's a little bit high.
He probably would. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, out and about, before we get too far down the trail, let's back up a little bit. We want to hear about your origin story. Where'd you grow up? Mm-hmm. What kind of sports and hobbies did you play? And how'd you get involved in this whole through hiking cult, this concept of spending days and weeks on end living in the dirt?
Cool. I grew up in South Florida, Southeast Florida. And honestly, I've always just been outside. I grew up 2 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. So I'd ride my bike over to the beach all the time with live oaks and the Spanish moss. I grew up with the cypress swamps and I grew up with, you know, all that good stuff. I was in the Scouts for a while. I'm an Eagle Scout, so been camping and everything.
What was your Eagle Scout project?
It was planting a bunch of palm trees at my friend's mom's elementary school. Yeah, we planted like 100 palm trees. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then from like 12 years old until I left the house around, I think it was 19 after community college, we used to do family vacations. And we'd do everything from, going to Grand Canyon, Yosemite, to one epic trip. We drove from South Florida all the way to Dead Horse, Alaska on the Arctic Ocean. So that was pretty cool.
Wow, what a road trip that was. How many thousands of miles was that?
I don't know how many miles it was, but it took 2 weeks to get there.
Wow.
And then after that, I went to college and dropped out and started, hitchhiking and hopping trains and just living all over the country and going on my own adventures. And then about 2002, 2003, something like that, I attempted the Appalachian Trail, got about 500 miles into it. And unbeknownst to me, I had a stress fracture in my foot that wound up widening and broke. So that got me off trail right around the Grayson Highlands where the ponies are. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I was like, I'm going to finish this trail before I'm a certain age. I'm going to finish this trail before I'm a certain age. And I hit that age and I was like, I got to poop or get off the pot. Time to go, man. So here we are. Yeah. Now we're hiking.
Okay. Couple follow-up questions here.
Yeah.
You said hopping trains.
Yeah.
Hopping like in my mind, I've got these old time movies running through them now with this image of guys hopping trains and sitting in a box car, just kind of watching the scenery go by outside the open door. What is involved in hopping trains? Where did you go? Why did you hop trains?
I'd say whatever your image is of those people, we were probably actually dirtier than that image. you get pretty filthy out there. Why the adventure? I'm like a dog with a stick. I just got to keep going. It's just too much fun. Just so exciting. Why was the adventure? The where was wherever the wind blew. Just sometimes you go visit friends. Sometimes you just want to go see this part of the country you've never been to. And yeah, it was great. I had a fantastic time.
So what was the longest trip you took hopping a train?
I think the longest single trip was from North Florida to just outside of Chicago.
Wow. And do they have guys that come and check the cars to make sure that there's nobody like you on there?
Yep. They're called bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
did you encounter any bulls?
I'll answer that with some advice my mother always gave me. Be good or be good at it.
Okay. So by being good at it, you were able to evade detection?
One could say that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then the AT, so you did 500 miles of it, and you ended up with a stress fracture. When did you first become aware that something like the AT existed? Was it because you grew up in Florida that you had this awareness of the trail on that East Coast trail, or when do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I vaguely. So my grandma on my mom's side, she's from Western North Carolina, right where the AT goes to the Smokies and stuff. So I've been going up there since I was two. So I'd heard about the AT from my grandpa. And I'd also heard about the Mountain to Sea Trail from him as well. So I'd known about them, and then I just got really into the idea once I started traveling on my own as an adult. So I've known about it since I was a little kid, and I've always wanted to do them. And so I'm just kind of chugging along, working my way through them now.
Yeah. Now you said poop or get off the pot. you reached that certain age that you had set for yourself and it still hadn't happened. Are you determined to poop, or are you determined to get off the pot?
Oh, I'm definitely. The first.
He didn't want to say I'm definitely pooping. And so are you going to start it back down at Springer Mountain, or are you going to pick up where you left off?
Neither. I'm starting in Key West in about 6 weeks.
No way. Key West. You're going to go Key West to, are you going to do the international AT?
I am. That's the plan. Key West to Newfoundland, 5,700 miles.
Wow. Okay. Now, before we get to that story and stories from the 4,200 plus miles that you've done this year, what do you do to pay the bills? How do you finance your adventures?
Sure. I sell photography. I have some awesome Patreon supporters, and I have a couple of dividend producing securities that help out too.
Okay. I understood all of those words that you said individually, but I'm still a little bit mystified as to how that works, but I'll go with that.
It's pretty cheap living, walking around and sleeping on the ground. Yeah.
Hopping trains.
Yeah. There's not a lot of taxes or fees that go into it.
Yeah, you don't need to go through the security line. You just
that's right. Yeah, you don't have to do pre-flight check-ins or anything.
That's right. Got to go to Chicago. All right, I'm gonna hang out by the tracks for a bit and make sure I catch the right train.
Yep.
Nice. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear about some of his past adventures and some of the, as you got a taste of, some of the future plans for Out and About. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young. This episode is sponsored by Jolly Gear. Are you tired of compromising between the ventilation of a button-down and the full protection of a sun hoodie? With the Triple Crown button-down, you can have the best of both. Plus, their fun standout patterns will have you the talk of the trail. Visit them at jollygear.com. Through hiker owned, Jolly Gear, where fun meets functional.
And welcome back. We are talking to Jason Tompkins, aka Out and About, and we've just heard some stories about hitching trains, hopping trains from Florida to Chicago, no less. I mean, that is quite a distance, as well as where he grew up and the things he's done. Let's talk about what you've done in 2022. Now, I have listed here, I've got Florida Trail, the Pinhoti Trail, the Carolinian, the Ocean to Lake Trail, Foothills Trail, Superior Hiking Trail. You did all those in 2022?
I have. That's right.
When did you start? What time of the year?
Well, I guess technically I did the Ocean to Lake Trail like the last week of December of 21, but I started the Florida Trail in January 3rd, January 4th, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so how many of the 52 weeks of 2022, of those 52 weeks, how many weeks were spent on the trail, do you think?
I probably hiked 6 to 7 months this year so far straight. While I was doing the Carolinian, I visited friends and visited family and stuff like that. You know, if I'm going to be walking through the town that they're in, I might as well go say hi.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I wasn't racing anybody. I wasn't racing myself. Yeah, I had the time.
Yeah. Now, I don't have a lot of experience actually being in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida that I know revolves around Disney World. I think I went there on a school trip once.
Sure.
As an adult, as a chaperone. So
yeah,
as my lone visit to Florida. So in my mind, I've got these varying images of what it must be like to hike the Florida Trail or hike in Florida. And in my mind, it's swampy with gators around every turn. Is that just a myth?
It's more of a myth than it isn't. Yeah, you definitely see gators. Being a local too, I have to say, like, they want absolutely nothing to do with you. I would say Florida hiking is more so oak trees with the swaying Spanish moss and slash pine and palmetto forest and stuff like that, and lazy rivers and springs with manatees. I'd say it's more that stuff than it is 15-foot boas, pythons, and now apparently Nile crocodiles. Who'd have knew?
Wow. Now, which is meaner, the gators or the crocodiles?
Which is what?
Meaner.
From what I understand, it's the crocodiles, but luckily there's not that many of them. They haven't taken over yet.
Mm-hmm. And there are snakes, an invasive species of snakes that they are now, like, there's a bounty out on them. They get people.
There is. Yeah. Actually, last week they found a giant python. I think it was a 15-foot python or something like that. And yeah, it's always open season for hunting them because they're super invasive. And they cut it open and found a fully intact 5-foot gator inside of it. So yeah, I'm staying away from all of that.
That is horrifying. I mean, if I'm scared of the gators and there's something out there eating the gators, oh, but yeah, not my cup of tea.
No. But honestly, like, yeah, the gators want nothing to do with you. So
now, have you run into Jupiter down there?
I've not run into Jupiter. And it's funny enough, we grew up in the same town. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know his mom did a lot of work on the Florida Trail. He's done the Florida Trail a number of times. Mm-hmm. I think he's also done the Eastern Continental Trail that you've got planned for 2023. So he's got a lot of experience there on the East Coast, and particularly Florida. So
yep, absolutely. I think he's done the Ocean Lake Trail like over a dozen times or something like that.
Okay. So how long is the Florida Trail?
The Florida Trail is about 1,100 miles. It's got a similarity to the Continental Divide Trail, and then it's got a couple of alternates, three different alternates. So the route that I took last year is 1,108 miles, I believe. But this year I'm going to be taking the alternates. So I don't know how long that'll be. I think it'll be around 1,200 or so.
Okay.
So a little bit different. So it won't be entirely the same trail.
Mm-hmm. And your best story from the Florida Trail? Any type 2 fun that you ran into out there?
Yeah, Bradwell Bay. Bradwell Bay it makes the swamps in the Everglades look like a toy, like a little kid's toy. Bradwell Bay was frustrating, and particularly for me, and the most challenging day that I had all year was specifically because, long story very short, is I was waiting to get some shoes delivered to me from a friend of mine. And I was not able to get them that day due to logistical issues, but I waited around for 3 hours waiting to get them. And so by the time that I got to Bradwell Bay, which is not really a bay, it's more of a dark, dark swamp that you would see in the most horrific fantasy films ever. Beautiful, but it got dark before I got through it. So I had to go walk through this wasty swamp at night, which was absolutely insane. But I had my druthers about me, finally made it through. And by the end of it, I was already looking forward to reacquainting myself with it this coming year. But in the daylight. Yeah, definitely in the daylight.
See, now out and about, that's the image I had in my mind when I'm thinking of Florida, and I'm saying, is that a myth or not? And then you said, no, that's a myth. That never happens. And then you tell me about having to wade through waist deep water in the dark, in a swamp. I mean, that's
These are the decisions that I made, though. I will not do that again. I chose poorly. I just wanted to get those shoes, and it just didn't work out. So.
Holy smokes. You may have only ended up needing one shoe.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I came close to donating a shoe into the swamp. Yeah. Yeah. I donated a few words, though. That's for sure.
I can imagine. All right. How about the Pinhoti Trail?
I really enjoyed it. I was
How long is that, and where is it located?
It's about 350 miles. The lion's share of it is in northern Alabama, and there's some of it in North Georgia as well. I enjoyed it. I wasn't planning on doing it, but I finished the Florida Trail earlier than I anticipated. I was just having a great time with my trail family, and I didn't want to get to the Carolinian or the Palmetto Trail, which is part of the Carolinian, before April, because it's in the mountains and it's cold. So I decided to do the Pinhoti Trail and connect that via the Benton McKay Trail to Springer, which is the southern terminus of the Appalachian Trail. Yeah, it was great. Honestly, I did not expect all the views on the Pinhoti. I didn't expect all the waterfalls. I didn't expect it was beautiful. The leaf out hadn't happened yet, so you get all these gorgeous vistas. And yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I'm already looking forward to it next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was the Pinhoti Trail, was it all Type 1 fun, or did you have any Type 2 as well?
It was all Type 1. Yeah, it was great. Okay. I didn't really have any issues. Yeah. Like it was
pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of opportunity for Type 1 fun when there's not alligators and swamps involved. So
for sure. Absolutely.
Now, of the ones that you had listed in our pre-interview discussions, mm-hmm, and communications, I had never heard of the Carolinian. Tell me about the Carolinian. Where is it? How long is it?
The Carolinian didn't exist. I just made it up this year. It's a 2,200 mile trail route. However, yeah, I'll go through it the direction that I did it. I started in the mountains of the northwestern mountains of South Carolina on the Palmetto Trail, which is a 500 mile long distance trail that goes from northwestern South Carolina to Charleston, South Carolina, which is southeastern. And then it was a beautiful trail, absolutely awesome. Not a lot of people know about it. It's pretty new. I think it was established in 1994. And then I just got a crazy idea to walk from basically Charleston all the way up to Nag's Head or Jockey's Ridge on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which is the eastern terminus of the Mountain to Sea Trail. So yeah, I decided to walk 375 mile road walk for 2 weeks, and did that. That section I'm considering to be optional for anybody that wants to do the Carolinian and not do the full 2,200 miles. You could just knock out the, 1,850 and not do the 375 mile road walk. Although there's probably some crazies out there like myself who would be into it. I like road walks. I like going to new towns and trying out the foods. And then there's the Mountain to Sea Trail. And that goes almost 1,200 miles from the Atlantic Ocean all the way to Clingman's Dome, which is on the border of Tennessee and North Carolina. And that's the highest point on the Appalachian Trail as well. So it meets up with the AT. Then you do 55 miles of the Appalachian Trail down to the northern terminus of the Bartram Trail. And then you hike all of the Bartram Trail down to where you started at. So you wind up doing in 2,200 miles or even the 1,850, three full through hikes of the Palmetto Trail, the Mountain to Sea Trail, and the Bartram Trail.
And it's basically a loop, right? You end up where you started?
Yep, exactly. And conveniently enough, the place that I started and ended is the exact place where the western terminus is of the Foothills Trail, which is a beautiful little 77-mile trail in northwestern South Carolina.
And so you strung all these together and you gave it the name, the Carolinian?
I did, yep.
Look at you, trail creator. adventure creator.
Trying. I think that's a beautiful part of the country, and I wanted to experience it myself, slow traveling. And it could be a four-season trail that people can do in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Just more options for folks who would like to do crazy stuff.
Right. Now, 375-mile road walk, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
There were some boring parts about it, but I came up with a line that I like, and roads or trails get you country, roads get you culture. And I have found a real enjoyment of walking roads. I like trying out different foods. I like the subtleties of little towns and how they change. I like the subtleties of accents and different mannerisms that you get to walk through and experience. So I don't really have a problem with it. Now, I understand if I was to only have a certain amount of time to go out and hike a lone trail, I probably wouldn't be that interested in walking roads, since that's a very limited amount of time. But I had the time and the freedom to do it, so I really enjoyed it. I had some of the best Vietnamese food in my life in Wilmington, and no regrets. There were some boring sections. There were some challenging days, but you take the good with the bad, right?
Yeah. Now, the 375 miles, wasn't all the same road. I mean, were some of them like country roads or some of it like highways? What did it look like?
The way that I took it, just because I wanted to knock it out as fast as possible, it was just two highways. One of them, the big part, was very busy. The other one was just a small little highway. However, one could tack on a little bit of extra miles and hike. It's called East Coast Greenway, which is a bicycle path route that you can take from Key West, Florida, all the way to Canada. And that'll get you off the major highways and onto some forest roads and dirt roads. But I just wanted to knock it out and get done with it as fast as possible. But if somebody else wanted to go do that, you could absolutely do it. You could bike it in 5 days. So,
from Key West to Canada?
No. That's going way faster than I could go.
Now, your travels took you to the Outer Banks. Tell us about that.
The Outer Banks was really, really cool. I genuinely love beaches. Like I said, I grew up 2 miles from them. It was cool. And I love the ocean. You put me next to the water, I'm getting in it. I don't care what temperature it is. It was cool walking on there. Some really, really comfortable sand walking. Beach walking isn't always the easiest, but that was awesome. And then you get to take two ferries because you're going from island to island. And I really fell in love with Ocracoke Island. It's the last island on the Outer Banks. If you're going south or southbound or westbound, it was really cool. It was like I got to hang out there for a day and a half, learning about like small island communities, how they get along, what they do in the tour season, what they do in the off season. It's where Blackbeard, the famous pirate, got beheaded. Some really cool stories and really cool cultures that I would have never expected. Yeah.
Yeah, just looking at you, you could have picked up the trail name Blackbeard.
I could have. Yeah.
Now, Outer Banks, they're islands, but they're connected by roads, right?
Some of them are. There are two ferries. One's it's like an hour long, and the other one's like a 2.5 hour long ferry. Mm-hmm. So they're not connected by roads, but the rest of them are. Yeah, it's really cool. And like, I don't know, 10 miles north of where the Mountain of Sea Trail starts is Kitty Hawk, where the first flight took place. So mm-hmm. That's cool. The island closest to the Outer Banks that I had to cross to get there was Roanoke Island, and that was the site of the lost colony of Roanoke. So that was pretty cool going and checking out that history and stuff. Yeah, I really had a great time.
Yeah, a lot of history on the west, on the East Coast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tons of it. Now, mm-hmm. any experiences on the Carolinian where you thought, what am I doing out here? Or this is pretty dicey?
Not so much what was I doing out here, but there was one of my favorite days and most challenging days was it was on the Mountain to Sea Trail section of it. And basically, I was walking along a river for a few miles, hanging out with this other hiker there's some guy camping. He had like a little base camp and stuff like that. And we got along. So he hiked with me for a little while, looking at the waterfalls, passing these rivers, and drank all my water and was like, okay, I'm going to hike out of this valley up into the top of this ridge and then back down into this gorge. I was like, oh, there's some water source right up here on the map, right? I was like, okay, I don't need to fill up. I'll just not carry all that water until I get to this water source. Well, that water source was dried up. And then I had to climb up out of that valley, up on top. And then basically had to do 15 miles, some pretty big elevation with no water. It was absolutely stunning. It reminded me of I call it the Grand Canyon of the East. Like, absolutely wonderful. But I got pretty dehydrated. I got a little dizzy. And I've had that happen to me once in my life before. And I wound up getting Giardia because I had to choose poor water as opposed to, falling off a mountain. But this time, I just had to play it safe. I didn't get too close to the edge. I knew I wasn't feeling awesome, but I did eventually find some water dripping out of a spring, a piped spring, and I had to spend like an hour filling up just a liter bottle because it was that slow, but I definitely needed it. But it was the most challenging day of the Carolinian and also one of my favorites.
Now, I've never had Giardia, but I understand it's not a lot of fun.
No, it's not. Yeah, I really appreciated the people at the hostel I was recovering at it from in Damascus, Virginia, who were bringing me the National Geographics while I slept in the shower.
That's it in a nutshell right there. I mean, you want to know what it's like, that's what it's like.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Ocean to Lake Trail, the Foothills Trail, Superior Hiking Trail, was that part of the Carolinian?
No, the Ocean to Lake Trail is a 61-mile trail that goes from Lake Okeechobee in Florida to the Atlantic Ocean.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for anybody who's at all interested in the Florida Trail, I think the Ocean to Lake Trail is a really good microcosm of the entire Florida Trail. So it's 61 miles instead of 1,100. And you get a little town, you get a tiny little road walk, you get swamp, you get sugarcane fields and agriculture, you get the oak hammocks and the swaying Spanish moss, and it's cool. So if you liked that, then I would say, yeah, definitely go check out the Florida Trail.
If you don't have time to do the Florida Trail, I mean, you do a 61-mile trail in just a few days. So you kind of get the full experience. Nice.
100%, yeah. And then the Foothills Trail was just kind of icing on the cupcake, being down in the south. And that, from what I understand, it's got the most number of waterfalls per mile than any other trail in the country. Absolutely beautiful. The Superior Hiking Trail, I'd known that I wanted to do that for a while. I lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota for about 10 years. And I'd done some hiking up in that area. And I knew that I wanted to do the Superior Hiking Trail, and I specifically wanted to do it in the fall because of the changing of the season and the fall colors. And this year just worked out great. I was intending on starting that trail 2 weeks earlier, but I had a knee injury that I needed to recover from, and it worked out great because the fall came exactly 2 weeks late. So had I started when I intended to, I would have missed the entirety of the fall, and it was absolutely stunning. And I think that trail is a 10 out of 10, hands down.
Wow, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
It scores slightly higher on the sanity scale than you.
Yeah. Slightly.
Now, how did you get up there? Did you hop a train?
No, I didn't. No, I haven't hopped trains in a very long time at this point. No, I just flew from Asheville, North Carolina up to Minneapolis and visited friends for a good while.
Did you hop a plane?
I hopped a plane. Yeah, it was a legal hop, though. Yeah. Well, legal in the sense that I hid down in the lower decks, down with the animals and stuff like that.
I don't believe you.
I don't either.
let's talk about some different aspects of being out there on the trail. During all these experiences last year, did you encounter a lot of other people? I mean, were there trail families involved as you went along? Wow.
What a drastically different answer. For the Florida Trail, we had a massive trail family, to the point that trail angels and locals and volunteers and maintainers wound up calling the trail family the bubble, because historically there just haven't been that many people hiking the Florida Trail. And there were so many people in this trail family, it changes over, 2 months to do it. It could be anywhere between 4 people a night and 14. So that was really cool. I only spent one night of the entire 2 months on the Florida Trail by myself, one night camping. And I wound up partying at a gas station after hours with the locals. So that was cool.
That might qualify you in Ivy Tat's lexicon as being hiker trash.
Yeah, I didn't sleep
partying
in a...
partying at a gas station.
Yeah, I didn't sleep in a porta potty, but it was close. And then, so that was really cool. I got to learn a lot. That being my first like long distance hike, I learned a lot from like really experienced hikers. A couple of you've had on there. I hiked with Mega Man for a while. I hiked with Nugs for a while. And then, so the flip side of that is...
Yeah, Mega Man, I was just talking with, I interviewed Elena Osborne yesterday, Tip Tap. And we were talking a little bit about off the air, talking about Mega Man and his story. His name is Wesley Tills, and there's an episode on the podcast called The Runaway Missionary, which is just in my mind, a fantastic story.
Absolutely. I've been telling all my friends to go listen to that one. his bear story is absolutely insane. Yes. And then after that, it was kind of crazy. I didn't even realize it until I met my first hiker, almost being done with the Mountain of Seatrail. They were asking like, "Oh, you? I guess you haven't seen a lot of hikers." And I was like, "Yeah, I haven't seen." Whoa, 4 months. I had not seen another hiker or camped with anybody outside of like a state forest where they have electricity and showers and all that kind of thing. I hadn't seen anybody in 4 months, and 2,200 miles, which is for your listeners, the equivalent of walking the entirety of the Appalachian Trail alone.
Right.
It was wild, and I loved it. I love both of them. I love being surrounded by people and having a great time, but I also like the solitary and the freedom to just be, do what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. It was great.
Jason, 4 months, 2,200 miles on your own. That's a long time to be alone. I mean,
It was.
do you run out of thoughts? Do you run out of things to think about?
Nope, not at all. No, I also do a lot of photography while I'm hiking, and it helps to keep me present. It helps to keep me grounded and kind of grateful for where I'm at. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I never got lonely. I like myself. That's cool.
That's good. Do you find yourself talking to yourself out there?
No. Yeah, I would go a couple of days without saying a single word out loud.
You know, your score has just been adjusted down a few points. You're now at 43.
If what is it? If you get down in the 30s, you have to get a 5150.
Yeah, I push the hotline button when we get down to that level. We need a team in there right now.
That's right. Go get him, extract him.
All right. And I love this other topic that you had kind of listed that we wanted to explore, and that's figuring it out. Of course, if you're going to be out there alone for 4 months or 2,200 miles, you're out in the middle of nowhere by yourself. Something goes wrong. You've got to figure it out. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sometimes on the Carolina Road Walk, that 375-mile section, I would usually like the morning of, I would look about 25, 30 miles up and see, look for some green areas and then figure out where I was gonna sleep because there's no campsites. And one day, I got about 25 miles to where to a gas station where I was gonna wait till the sun went down a little bit. So I started looking at my map, was charging my devices, had some dinner. And I noticed some weird lettering on the map. I was just using Google Earth or whatever. And I was like, what is this? What does this mean? And I zoomed out a little bit. There's more. I don't know what this is. I zoomed out a little bit more and was like, oh no, that's the United States Marine Corps Special Operations Command. For miles and miles and miles. So after a 25-mile day, I had to do another 15 just to make it past there to figure out where the heck I'm going to sleep, because I'm sure as heck not going to be climbing barbed wire fence to be on a Marine base. I might be a little wild and crazy, but I'm not that wild and crazy.
That would have been some type three fun.
Yeah, absolutely. If I was lucky.
Yeah.
But the rest of figuring it out is like, yeah, I mean, when I was in that swamp section of Bravo Bay at night, I made it through there, but I had to consider, what if I don't make it through? And luckily, I did still have my hammock with me, so I did have the option of being able to string up the hammock if I needed to between the cypress trees and above the water. So that would have been interesting. I'm glad I didn't have to do that, but sometimes you have to figure out backups. Just so that you can be safe. Like, I might do some dumb stuff, but I'm always safe about it. I'm always weighing my options, and I want to be able to keep doing this for as long as I can. And you got to be safe as you can in order to do that.
Absolutely. Now, what kinds of skills have you acquired through this experience?
A friend of mine I met on the Florida Trail, Bear Magnet. He talks about mental
Bear
grit.
Magnet. That's got to be a good
Yeah.
story.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Mental grit is a word that he uses. And just it's part of the figuring it out thing. And it's kind of the confidence building. One of the skills I would say is learning how to adapt mentally and emotionally to challenging situations. And I think that is a skill set. And I think that it only comes from experience. You can't purchase a subscription and just have it delivered to you. And then other skills would be like, yeah, learning how to set up my tarp in different ways, figuring out my body and how to get up and down elevation faster, quicker, safer. And then other little fun things like figuring out when to take a break. Sometimes if you're hiking along and it's getting to be about break time, maybe it's around lunchtime, and you see that there's a trailhead coming up, I might just walk a little extra bit and take a break at the trailhead, because you never know what kind of trail mag that's going to hit you.
That's right. That's right. I've heard other guests describe this as getting comfortable being uncomfortable and just kind of enduring. And that is a real skill.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that, like, one thing that I'm super happy about growing up in South Florida is that you get used to humidity. Nobody likes it, but you just learn to get used to it. And then another one is having grown up in South Florida is nobody likes bugs and mosquitoes and spiders and big old black ants crawling all over you, but you get used to it growing up in a swamp. So you can still sleep in a tarp exposed on the ground.
Man, if you are sleeping in a tarp in Florida, you are sleeping under a tarp in Florida, you've got to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
There are some creepy crawlies out there, man.
There certainly are.
How big are the mosquitoes in Florida?
Big enough to carry away small children.
I don't believe you. All right. Any memorable people that you met out there these last 4,200 miles?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, of course. Mega Man, Nugs, the Scavenger Princess, 1800, the Champ.
Now, when you met Mega Man and Nugs, had you listened to their episodes on the podcast?
They weren't even on your podcast yet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. 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 Although I do remember Nugs mentioning that she was scheduled to be on it, but that y'all postponed it so she could go, because she's a wild lady. She wanted to go hike the Arizona Trail directly after the Florida Trail.
Right.
Yeah. 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 And then when it finally came out, I immediately listened to it. Yeah. Yeah. I met a ton of people. Absolutely had a great time. I would just feel really grateful that I was able to help give some context to a hiker called Dad Bod. He did the Florida Trail too. And he just finished the Mountain to Sea Trail like last week. So that was really cool to be able to help out. And yeah, every single person that I met was great. Couldn't have recommended it better.
I'm pretty sure Dad Bod didn't pick his own trail name.
You don't think so, huh? That's funny.
All right. Hey, what's next for Out and About? We heard about the Eastern Continental Trail from Key West through, what is the northern terminus?
Newfoundland.
That's right. That's right. 5,500 miles.
Yeah, 5,700 miles. My goal is to, I at least want to make it to Cape Gaspé, which is the northeasternmost point of the continent. That's at least where I want to go. And then anything after that is bonus. If I can make it all the way through Newfoundland, that would be awesome. I would absolutely love that. But I also don't want to be in Newfoundland in November. I want to be in New Zealand by then. I hear it gets cold up there.
Yes. And let's talk about New Zealand. What are you going to do in New Zealand next year?
I am going to, budget willing, hike Te Aroha. I'm going to start off in the northern part of the North Island and start off with that 90-mile beach walk, following the footsteps of Tip Tap, and go hike that awesome country. And I got a couple of friends that might come out and visit. Excited about doing all that. Go to see some Lord of the Rings scenery and go hike around Mordor and all that jazz.
That's right. That's right. You've got beach, you've got road walk, you've got Lord of the Rings scenery. I mean, it's going to be epic.
Yeah. What more do you want?
Nice. Maybe in my conversation with Elena yesterday, Tip Tap, she talked about doing some trail angeling. Maybe we could set up a trail angel opportunity there.
That would be rad. I love hearing her stories, and her documentaries are fantastic.
Yeah, she is so talented. So talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But you've got plans beyond 2023. You even got 2024 mapped out.
Yeah, I got 25 mapped out too. I just didn't want to bore you. barring any injuries and barring budget and everything like that, I'd like to come back from the Te Araroa in New Zealand and go hike the Arizona Trail. See, long term wise, I have a plan. You know, plan to work the plan. I'm trying to skill build basically with each trail. And so after New Zealand, go do Arizona, and I work on my desert hiking because there's a little trail pretty close to where you are that I want to do after the Arizona Trail. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah.
It rings a bell. I think I've heard of it.
Yeah. I think there might be a picture in your background from a section of that. I'm not sure.
That's right.
So yeah, I want to do the Arizona Trail, then the Pacific Crest Trail. We'll see what the snowfall is and we'll see what the fires are like. Finish that, maybe go do the Sheltoe Trace. And that's in Kentucky and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then winter in South America, just traveling around, experiencing those cultures. And then come back to the States and do maybe the Wichita Trail and the Ozarks Trail in like Missouri and Arkansas. And then the CDT, Continental Divide Trail, get that triple crown. Yeah, after that, I don't know, Southeast Asia. It's a big old world and try to see as much of it as I can.
Sky's the limit. Very
sky's
good.
The limit, brother. And by then, I'll have a better answer for you of whether or not I prefer above tree line or below tree line.
Okay. All right. We'll have to do a follow-up interview.
Fair.
Okay. Hey, out and about, you know where we are? Of course you do. You know where we
are. Oh, you tell me.
The pro tip insight of the week.
Yes, it's that time of the episode where you're going to share some trail wisdom with us. What do you have?
I actually used the one I was planning on using.
People jump the gun. Yeah,
they do. We get all excited. So I already used it. I'm going to mention it again because it's good. Go to a trailhead if you're going getting ready for a break, because you never know what kind of trail magic somebody's going to bring you. Another pro tip inside of the week. Yeah. Okay. Well, I learned this one the hard way. It's common. Everybody says you should do it. Everybody says it's one of the first 101s of hiking and camping. Look up for dead branches and dead leaves before you set up your tent site. I set mine up in Florida somewhere and woke up in the middle of the night to, I'd say, a 15, 20 foot big old oak branch fell down so hard to the ground about 10 feet from me. Not only did the sound wake me up, but it shook the earth enough to wake me up and another hiker about 25 feet away from me. So check for those dead branches. Check. You don't know what kind of storms you're going to be getting. And honestly, just look before you set your stuff up, because you don't want to set your stuff up, be all good and happy, and then be like, uh-oh, I didn't look. And next thing you know, you got to move your whole camp.
See, that is the whole point of the pro tip inside of the week. That's to allow our listeners to level up without having to actually go through the painful experiences. They can listen to your painful experience and say,
right,
you know what? That is a great lesson that I did not have to learn on my own.
100%.
Nice. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Out and About. I want to thank him for joining us this week. Jason, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media, and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
Absolutely. I'm on Facebook and Instagram currently as Jason Tompkins. Instagram is Out and About 53. I'm working on trying to edit some videos of the hikes that I've been doing so far. That's not available yet on YouTube, but I'll post up when they're all ready to go. So that'll be 8 through hikes this year. And then next year, we'll see what happens.
Okay. And what is the significance of 53? Because did you go Jason Tompkins? Oh, that's taken. Jason Tompkins 1. No, that's taken. Jason Tompkins 2.
it's Out and About 53. 53
about,
was just the, yeah, 53 was just the number that popped up. But I liked it because it is part of the name of a day trader that I follow.
Okay. And it's a prime number.
It's also a prime number.
So there you go. Prime number for a prime guy.
There you go. Shucks.
Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
Out and About, I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, movie, documentary, website, some kind of outdoor adventure media. Keep our listeners connected to the trail. We call this our Adventure Media Recommendation. What do you have for us?
Honestly, and I know you've talked about this, and a lot of people know about it. I saw this documentary called The Alpinist this year, and it was absolutely fantastic. And I've seen it 5 times now because I just had to keep showing it to people. And it's honestly, to me, it's inspiring in the sense of I'm not going to give away any spoilers or anything, but it's inspiring to me to like be present in your surroundings and be present in your adventures and to really push yourself and have like the joy of leveling up your skill sets. And when you can do that and do that skill building, you can go do and push yourself and do crazier things and more adventurous things. And yeah, it just really opens up your parameters and options. And I really think that's cool.
Yeah, The Alpinist. Excellent recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah.
What have we not asked you?
And before we wrap things up, just one more segment for you called What Have I Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What do we miss today during the interview?
Why?
Okay, that's a good. Okay, why? Yes. Why in the heck are you doing this?
one word, man, freedom. Like, that's it. I'm like, this is something that I learned about myself. I'm like a dog with a stick, right? I'll tell you a story. I got a close friend of mine, Ellie, who lives in Minnesota, and she has this dog named Juniper, who loves the water and who loves playing fetch. And I would be throwing all these sticks into the water, and she'd be jumping in. And my friend had to eventually, a couple of times, say, "Hey, you know what? I need you to stop doing that with my dog right now. She doesn't know when to quit, and you're going to kill her if you keep going." And I've learned about myself that I need to have some patience with myself and take breaks because that freedom that I love and endear so much is I'll just keep going. I'll just keep it. Oh, what's around over there? Oh, what's over there? Oh, who am I going to meet over here? And I just keep going. I went 2 months without taking a 0 day, and it's that freedom, man. It's that freedom of taking a left or taking a right or going and grabbing some food over here, or hanging out with this new friend over here. Like, I absolutely adore it. And to me, there's nothing like sleep, going to sleep somewhere different than where you woke up. Freedom.
That is a fantastic explanation, and I love the analogy to the dog with the stick. That is great. That is great. But hey, that is a wrap from the John Freaking Muir studio. Any shout outs to friends and family out and about?
Yeah, I've never met him. Fantastic dude, great hiker. His name's Lil Buddha. That's his trail name. Absolutely fantastic dude. I consider him my hiking mentor. Yeah, wonderful person. And if I don't think you've had him on the podcast, but if you are interested in a really rad hiker and a really great person, check out Little Buddha.
Okay, now you've never met him. How do you know about Little Buddha? Is that through his YouTube channel or?
Nope. He doesn't even have a YouTube channel as far as I know. He
okay.
was on another podcast called The Orange Blaze,
Okay.
which is mostly about the Florida Trail. And he was on a couple of those and just heard about him and had some questions about that ex those experiences, followed him. And the guy's got tens of thousands of miles and keeps doing crazier things and just loves it. Yeah, he's been really, really kind and loves to help out new hikers. So yeah,
Okay.
fantastic dude.
I'm writing down his trail name. Here we go. Good.
Cool.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. Always remember the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you've had to wade through waist deep water in Bradwell Bay in the dark. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.